everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Network. And we're very happy today to bring you a wonderfully interesting and creative woman, also here locally, but her outreach is global. And she, let me tell you a little bit about her. Camilla Ross is an award-winning producer, director, playwright, actress, and president of the company called the Emerson Theater Collaborative. And she's also the executive director of the Arts Academy of Sedona. And Sedona, Arizona, of course, everybody is pretty familiar with that worldwide. In addition to this, Camilla is a Navy and Army veteran and an adjunct instructor of business classes in Three Rivers Community College. So we'll explore that as well. Now, in Camilla's own words, she says, I will quote her, "I've been on a quest to create art from a performer's perspective, to support playwrights and whose vision is to change the world by telling a story, to see the all in not just the one." So as we come into our 15th year as a company, the Emerson Theater Collaborative and continues its mission of allowing people to experience theater through the lens of human condition. Our theatrical works are live, upfront, and personal, and challenge us to change. So you're a woman after my own heart. Camilla, welcome to Wise Women.
Thank you. It's good to see you, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm good. So I had the privilege of working with Camilla in a production last year called The Great Gatsby. And having also been a producer myself of plays and performances, I know the challenges that we all face to just keep everything moving forward and keep the cats wrangled, as we say. So that's when her military background becomes a very important asset, right, Camilla?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got to have that.
Yeah, she's a very strong woman who keeps everything on course. Believe it or not, I never told you this. I had a production in the Midwest with over 200 cast members.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
talk about wrangling a lot of people. That was, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Camilla, tell me a little bit about your own background and how you came to be doing the work that you're engaged in with such a passion.
Well, we all are born with a passion. And so I think for me, God designed early on that I would be doing what I'm doing right now. Although I did have my moments with questioning my purpose and my path, and I made that known to God on more than one occasion. Hence, joining the military at different times and doing different things. But anyway, I think I started when I was 12, knowing that I really enjoyed the art of performing. And not so much to be in the limelight, but to be somebody different. And, you know, when you're growing up as a kid, you always like to play pretend. And so that was really a wonderful moment of childhood, being able to do that. And so after high school, I applied to different colleges, and Emerson College chose me. Or should I say I chose it? And so that's where I started. And in order to get through college, I had to learn how to pay for it. So I joined the National Guard. And that was my first moment in the military, is being able to pay for college that way, because they had the student repayment program, which was a great benefit for me.
So what a good idea.
Yeah, it was a really great idea. And so it took me very far in that moment. So that's where I got my start, doing theater, you know, college-wise, and then after for moments, and then just being able to do different things. And I think once I got out of the military, I decided that I was going to start my own company. And so I had, this is my second company that I have right now, but I started the first one, which was Rosewood Theater Company, way back when. And I tried that and I was like, yeah, I think I like this. No, I don't think I like this. And so I quit. And so that was that first moment. And then I got a regular job. And after working regular jobs and things of that sort, it's like, no, this is not it. And so I sort of dabbled back and forth and finally came into my own when I hit 40 in terms of running a theater company. That's God pushing me in that direction while I was kicking and screaming, going the other direction. And so I finally made it anyway.
Well, isn't it interesting? I love how you move into the God-directed path because we know how that goes. And for me as well, it's a love-hate thing always to me to be involved in productions because the vision of it and what we can see as possibilities is one thing, and then when we have to roll up our sleeves and realize how intensely consuming it has to be, if people only really knew what it takes to give two or three performances for people to attend and be entertained, unless they're actually involved, they really cannot fathom what it takes. Would you
No, it's a
agree?
lot of work. It's a lot of work. And you really, honestly, you really have to love what you do. And so if you don't love it, don't do it. I love the work I do. And I think I always have. I don't think I've always believed in myself in doing such. Again, that's another God moment for me, because when I started doing one-woman shows, I really had to rely on my faith. And so I asked. I agreed in 2009 to play Harriet Tubman, which was written by our resident playwright, Lisa Giordano. And she said to me, "Hey, Camilla, I got this great play I'm writing, and I think you're going to be great for it. So it's a one-woman show, and it's about Harriet Tubman." And I said, "Great, Lisa, I'm ready." And before I could take that back, I said, "Oh, God." I said, "Okay, I've agreed to do this." I said, "But now you're going to have to help me, because I know I've never done this before. And so you're going to have to help me. And so if this is for me to do, I need you to show me. And I need you to, take that book and say, boom, right over the head with it so I can get it, right?" And so I'm in church one day, and the late Carol Day comes up to me and she says, "Hey, Camilla, I went to this great museum in New York, and I've got this amazing thing that I brought back for you." Now, mind you, Carol Day had no idea what I was going to do. She didn't even know anything about the show whatsoever, and it hadn't even been written yet. But anyway, so I'm in church and she says, "Open your hand." So I open my hand and she puts a Harriet Tubman pin in my hand. And I'm like, "Okay, I get it. I get it.
Oh, I just got God shivers.
I get it." And so I did. And so she wrote it. And 3 weeks up until opening, I'm learning lines and, doing that process. And the show was a success. And what we did with it is we combined it with Harriet Beecher Stowe. So my friend Emma played Harriet Beecher Stowe, and
Oh
I played
my.
Harriet Tubman.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have it on video by chance?
We do have it on video. There's some video out there.
Oh, I'll bet it's such an interesting show.
Yeah,
Wow.
it was really a great experience, and it's really one of those, like I said, God-like moments, because I'm always relying on God to tell me how and where I should be and what it looks like. And I'm so blessed to be able to have that relationship, because without it, I don't think I would have been where I am now for
I
it.
completely agree. And there's nothing more thrilling than to have a demonstration like the one that you just explained, to have that sense that we are in connection with Source and that Source cares about us and wants to communicate with us to guide us into the places where we are really meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for people to recognize that, God is in everything. And if you just sit still for a moment, no matter what path you're on, you'll be directed And sometimes it's hard to even hear it sometimes when your mind is clouded. And so sometimes we just have to sit with it. And I've always known that there's, you know, something much larger than myself at the helm. But I don't think I've always trusted like I do now. You know, we get it, we learn that trust and we build it and we, you know, we go with it. So, but that's been the journey in terms of performing and creating. And I think we created Emerson out of a need for women to be seen, not only for what we've contributed to society, but for what we've given to the larger perspective of society. We're nurturers and we're mothers and we're daughters and we're sisters and we're playwrights, we're doctors, we're nurses, we're all of these things, but yet we only seem to be seen as one. And we're so multiversatile. It's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you for that input, because of course on Wise Women, Gary Null created this show, I think, to focus exactly what you're talking about and the contribution that women do make and continue to make. And now more than ever, I think the feminine is critical to move into the forefront of our planetary expression, so to speak.
Absolutely.
You know, and I often have been a staff member at Gary Null's healing retreats in his various locations. And he brings me there and I teach acting for, you know, they people stay for a week or two. And I'll teach, you know, even three classes of acting. And it oftentimes is one of the favorite things that people can experience there. And so Gary considers, you know, the expression of yourself as a healing situation. And I think that let's talk a little bit about your experience of the importance of self-expression and what it brings to the psyche and to the healthful experience of living. Because I think that, you know, all too often, I think people talk about or think about performance in an ego way and that sort of thing. I, for one, have never felt comfortable in a performance setting to do anything but feel like my purpose as a performer is to touch people and to move them in a way that honors the fact that they've come, bought a ticket, and sit there to take their precious time to watch the show.
Well, you know, I think we've all been giving a gift, if you will, and it's within that gift that we're able to touch other people. As long as we share the gift, it's when we don't share it that we lose our intent and our purpose for divine. And so for us being who we are as people, when we are authentic to ourselves and to what we are supposed to be, that is a healing moment for us within. And so being able to be who we are authentically as people first, then as our gift, it allows people to see the God-likeness in all of us, because God is part of all of us and within us. And so when we are who we are, that's honoring God and Goddess. So, well, that's what's beautiful about the many different people the globe has. And the beauty of it is being able to share the differences with others. And then when you're sharing those differences with others, you find just how connected you are to each other. And when you show your authentic self, it allows your light to be shown very differently than another's. And when all those lights come together as people, that's what brings harmony and brings peace and brings love, because everybody is authentic and they are themselves and their God light shines through. And so when you take that and you take your purpose and you start building your purpose into who you are, the light is illuminated very much brighter.
Well, I can't thank you enough for such a beautiful perspective. And it's interesting because Gary Null always talks about the importance of being authentic and harmony. And so, I think you're a little bit channeling Gary Null there, are you?
No, I just know that we're all beautiful beings, and we all have our own unique moments and who we are. And if we share those unique moments with other people and getting them to see exactly who we are, it tends to elevate them as well and validates them as people. And so when you're validating other people, it lifts their light in their validation, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And I've had the privilege often, I started out very young as well, and the privilege of being in productions or spontaneous performances that I have done myself, even in India. When I went to an ashram there, I intended to stay for 6 weeks, and the master had other plans for me. I was only there for 2 weeks, and he asked me to please end my meditation 6 weeks course. And they had a theater group, and he asked me to take over the lead in this musical that they had created and tour India, and then end up being the director of that theater group, right? So, these were completely unexpected circumstances that I went there, to meditate and find God and look under the rock and see what other aspect of God I might experience. And instead, I end up, performing again. And again, you can see how God pushes us into these avenues. But I remember once we all stayed together in this wonderful, huge home. In India, they have homes that are built to contain more than one family because oftentimes they like to have their children, live with them after they get married. And so we had this big home, and at night we would all gather, and I had done some impersonation shows of different people, and not that I had any costumes or things like that, but I took a yellow towel and put it over my head, and I stuffed my boobies and did my Dolly Parton impersonation for everybody, a cappella, right? And so just the willingness to kind of be outrageous and playful and vulnerable, because every time any of us get on stage and take that risk, with the critics standing by, we know it's a vulnerable condition that we put ourselves in. And yet, those spontaneous moments that I had the opportunity to be part of, to watch the audiences, even though it was maybe just what 40 people there in the big house, but to see their response, to see that that you actually touched them, you did something to impact them. That's a reward that is priceless.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you know what that's about.
It's giving. It's just giving. We're here to be givers. And it's in that giving that we find our joy and our light. And so whether we're doing theater, whether we're singing, whether we're dancing, we're still giving. But if we hold that back, the piece of that pie is missing. So.
That's so true. And I'm sure you hold this. I teach acting, not as much as I would like to, but when I do, or I'll just meet people and I see potential in them. And I'm no doubt you have this same experience. And it's like, I just want to take them and open them up and have them enjoy the expression that I can see possible for them. And all too often, I do find that people, like you were saying, they hold themselves back from that expression. And they can't seem to be willing to be, to put themselves out there. I mean, what do you do when you encounter people that you know have something to contribute, but just can't get past that?
I sort of ask them sometimes, what is it that you'd like to contribute? And it's in that moment, they'll figure out what they want to contribute and allow that doorway to be open. Because once they give what they want to contribute, then you can sort of coax them along into some new area where you know that they have something. And you can just sort of feather their way. Maybe you might want to try this. Would you like to try a small role? You know, well, you know, I've always wanted to do that. And then the doorway's open. But if you never ask what they like or what they want to contribute, you're not going to know what it is they have in that repertoire of gifts.
Well said. Very well said.
Yeah, I mean, you have to ask them because they'll tell you. It's like a child will show you who they are as they're growing and what their purpose is and what they want to do. They will show you. And if you're open and you're watching and you're looking and you see what they're good at, what they feel like they're really good at, you can begin to nurture them, because that is our duty, is to nurture each other on our on their journey. So why not look at that?
Definitely, and certainly a predominant characteristic of the feminine is that nurturing aspect and the importance of how to do that with grace and not being codependent, which I fight all the time. You know, and being able to bring people to that larger perspective of who they are and what their potential is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, people are going to show you. It's what you choose to take from it and what you choose to acknowledge.
Now, how do you choose the material that you have in your productions? What are you looking for?
It's sort of a mixture, because I'll look at a theme for a season. So our new season, which is now, is human connection. How we as people connect to one another humanly. And so Almost Maine, which opens on Friday, is all about human connection and love. Different relationships. There are 9 vignettes and each one has a story, and it's a human story. And so you look at that human story and you say, okay, this is what it looks like. This is life. And so I'm choosing a season based on theme, based on life. But I don't always get to choose that. God always intervenes. And so here's a great example. We did Eurydice in May of this year, and John Capozzoli, a young gentleman who I've known since he was 15, he's in Sedona, he's going to direct this piece. And so he does a great job with it, and he also chose Indecent, you know, to do. And I said, John, I said, you know, that's a real big undertaking. It takes a lot. He said, yeah. But I think it's necessary. I said, okay. It wasn't one that I would have chosen because it's labor intensive, it's technical intensive, and it just wasn't on my radar. And it goes back to allowing people to do the things that they want to do. So this was one of the shows that he wanted to do. And so I said, okay, I can coach you. He said, no, I got it. I said, okay. But in that moment, recognizing that support is needed, I have to jump in and I have to support that. And so as long as I'm supporting his effort to make it come to fruition, I'm contributing. And so that's what I did. I had to jump in and help bring this show to fruition so that he could see his vision, so he could see what he wanted to see from the show. And that's working together. Even though he doesn't have the full skill set that I have, I can take my skill set and enhance his vision of what he wanted to see come to fruition. So it wasn't a show that I had chosen, but I made the choice to support him and help him produce the show because that's what he wanted to see. And that's what he needed support in. He didn't have that skill set, but I did. So that's what we get to do for other people.
Well, and of course, your chosen words for your company, Emerson Theater Collaborative.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that that was well chosen by you.
Three women came together because we didn't see the type of theater that we wanted to see in Mystic, Connecticut. That's how the company was built. And we built it so we could see the type of theater that we wanted to see, uplifting women and their purpose and all of the amazing things that women do on an everyday basis that were never talked about. I mean, we've had amazing women, Harriet Tubman, extraordinary, what she did for the Globe. That's a story. What Harriet Beecher Stowe has done, what Madam C.J. Walker did, all of these extraordinary women doing things out of love and out of faith and purpose. And so when all the women come together with their faith and purpose, that's healing. That's building community. It's healing people. And so for theater heals. Theater creates. And so when we're sharing in that moment of this major shift, global shift that's happening, what are we doing? We're creating love. We're creating community. We're creating peace. We're creating space when we allow others to come into the fold and uplift their vision as well.
That's wonderful. And so, so true. So the current production. Tell us a little bit about your current production that you're about to open.
John Cariani wrote this play in the 2000s, and I have the script. It's funny you mentioned that. I have the script right here. And that's what you won't even be able to see what it looks like in terms of conversation, but it's a series of vignettes and their life living and affirming. It's based on mythical realism is really what's lovely about it in of itself. And it's Welcome to Almost Maine. And it uses symbolism and magical realism to connect the dots. So the Northern Lights are symbolic of human souls who've passed and are headed on their way to heaven. And she says, it takes 3 days for the soul to get to heaven. And so it's the Northern Lights that carries them there.
Wow, I never heard that before.
I mean, but how beautiful is that in symbolism and in realism to be able to think like that?
Yes.
So I think, John Cariani, his writing is so life-affirming. And the vignettes are about love and relationships between people. And they're very beautifully written conversation. There's one that's called Her Heart, and the man says, hello. And she says, hello. He said, I thought I saw someone. I was about to go to bed and I saw you from my window. Can I help you? Is there something that I can do for you? And she says, oh, no, I'm just here to see the Northern Lights. But what happens is that she's on his property. And they're in Maine. She says, well, I've heard that in Maine, people can just come on anybody's property and just, you know, stay there to come and see the Northern Lights. That's what kind of people that live here. They're very open, they're very kind, they're very loving. And that's what I saw in this brochure. So what I love about his writing is that it affirms life in so many different relationships for us as people. And that's what connects us to spirit, is love and relationship. And so that's why Almost Maine was chosen, because I wanted people to recognize that the most important connection we could ever have is the human connection. And without that, I think the pandemic has taught us a lot about that in and of itself, particularly is the human connection to others, because we didn't have that for a whole year. And what did people do in that time? They spent a lot of time by themselves in perspective and thinking and trying to figure out what life looks like for them in this new normal. So I think we can learn a lot by listening to other people's stories and finding ourselves in their story.
And beautifully stated.
I chose this and the others part of the season for the human connection that we still need to have globally. If we started connecting humanly, our world would be different.
Yes, it would.
And I think that's what women today can give the world, is the reconnection to the human connection to people.
Yes. Yeah. I was having a discussion just recently about, I saw, there is a grid around each of us, an energetic grid, and, keeping us 6 feet apart from one another. Those grids cannot touch each other. And that was the perspective that was being presented. And, our ability to connect with each other, to be vulnerable, which is always very difficult, because the whole condition was one of, we're not safe, you're not safe, any other person is a threat and could possibly kill me just by them breathing on me. And that in itself, whether we consciously think about it or not, I know had such a negative impact on all of us, had to, even if it was on a subconscious level. That's something that I think any of us alive on the planet have been adversely impacted by this experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I think if we, as a globe, if we had a deeper human connection, I don't think, and I'd like to not think, that we would have what's happening now, if for Israel and for Palestine. I would like to think that the human connection is so much bigger and so much stronger and so much more needed, because if we had that, would we have what we have? Because everybody wants, at the end of the day, the same things. The basic life and living basic necessities of love, a home, to live in, food on their table, clothes on their back, to educate their children. Those are the basic human things that everyone deserves, and to be able to have medical care for everyone. And so when you're looking at how theater can allow us to grow as people in the human connection, it keeps us connected. The public, we're delivering a message that says the human connection is the most important that you could ever have. Thank you for coming, because your human connection for here for me today means so much to me as a performer and as a person. So Almost Maine brings us full circle, if you will, to the human connection of people. And I think that's why I chose it, because it really brings us back to the importance of being connected to other people. And what we say and what we do to each other has a very large effect on the end result of whatever that may be. So we get to choose. Our choices are very important. And I think if we look at that, the choice that we make every day on how we're going to connect with another human being, I think that would speak volumes. And so I like the fact that I can take theater art, performing in particular, and to change someone's mind about what they thought life was about, or who was more important than another person. I want to be able to influence their thought process for the better.
I feel the very same. And I have projects that I've been on my back burner for a long time. And it is through, not by a lecture or a sermon, although some sermons can be very beautiful, but to demonstrate through stories a perspective to give the person observing the, you know, the content of your production something just to go home with and realize that just by them seeing it has impacted them in such a way that it must cause a process of thinking to reconsider perhaps the perspective they had before they sat down to watch that performance.
Absolutely. And I think we all have the ability through our gifts, no matter what they are, is to change the mind of someone else in their perspective, especially through their gifts. And whether that's a performer, whether it's a musician, whether it's a doctor, a nurse, both of my parents were nurses. So what an amazing gift I got, being able to love other people and to give more to them than I give to myself. Because now I get to, you know, look at that perspective, you know, from two nurses.
Wow. So they were in the healing arts, and you chose theater as your healing art.
Yeah, because I think everything has the potential to heal, and it's how we use it. How we use it, that's the biggest thing. If we use it for good, it'll multiply. If we use it for bad, it'll still multiply, but in the wrong direction from where it's supposed to go. So, and that's why I say choices are so important, because when we're younger, we don't understand the value of our choices and what they can do. But as an adult, we get to actively be engaged in the process of learning and knowing to make a better choice.
Because when we make a choice that isn't very good, the consequences can be pretty daunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've learned a lot from Gary Nolan. He always, I try to remember this. So when I make a major decision that alters the course of my life, for me to look down the long road to see what the consequences could be if it wasn't going to turn out too well, you know, could save a whole lot of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
And not such an easy thing to be able to always do.
Nope, it's not. And that's why we get to start over every day. So we can perhaps do better the next time in our choice choosing and how we do things. So I think that's really important as a person is to try and make the right choices. We don't always do it, but we can have the moment to make amends when we don't.
Yes, and when you realize or you consider that perhaps, it's like, we're all processing things every day. Hello to Life 101, right? And sometimes I'm even myself personally in a kind of quandary at the moment because, we have our own perception of ourselves. And then someone might say something to you that seems completely inconsistent with how you perceive yourself. And as, a seeker of the truth my whole life, even in those moments, I have to, instead of rejecting what was said, I stop and I think, well, what if that's correct? That's, and it might be something as I'm going through at the moment, something shocking to consider about myself. And that's, it can be very painful. And, when you come to something like that and you have to question your very purpose in life, is it inconsistent with what you had imagined, or you held as yourself the truth? That's, sometimes a movie or a book, or as you had, someone handed you something with Harriet Tubman that gave you an indicator. And I think at times when we're at those crossroads, that's when we maybe more than ever can have a book or a movie or something that gives us perspective that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's beautiful about our world. We got all these amazing people that have these amazing gifts, and you can sit down and watch a film, and it changes your entire world. So nothing really is lost if we're open to seeing the truth that everyone here is important and they all have value on our journey. And you get to look at that and you get to see if you're open to see how things are working. If you're on that same path and you keep hitting that brick wall, you haven't learned the lesson. Because when you do, what happens? It shifts.
Transformation.
Yeah, things change. So change is a good thing, but you got to be open to see that change come to fruition. Once you speak it, okay, now it's time to put it together and start doing the work to make it happen. And once you start doing that, energy is energy. You get connected, and then the energy flows over here, and you go, oh, yeah, I kind of like that. And then that energy gets connected, and it seems to flow. If you're fighting against a brick wall, it's because you're on the wrong path. Because when it's real, it just flows and it comes to you. So you know that you're on the right path. But if you're fighting against it and it's not working, that should tell you that it's not working. It's not for you. Go a different direction. So I think sometimes people miss that. They think, oh, it's not working. It's not working because it's not the right moment, or it's not the right avenue, or it's not the right time in which to do it. And that I think that's in everything. It's all about timing and, process. Who you meet people for a reason. It's not, sometimes it's to get a relationship moving, sometimes it's to get married, sometimes it's not. Most of the time it's not any of those. It's for you to learn a lesson or something. And
Yeah.
that you need to have along your journey that catapults you into something, you know, different or on the next phase of your moment. And so I try as much as possible to say yes to certain things and to really say no to other things, because especially if it doesn't sit right. And intuition's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Intuition's really lovely, because if you're in that moment where you're being intuitive, you're listening to body, you're listening to spirit, and you're going in that direction. And so when that happens, it leads you to change, whether it's transformation or growth, you know, you doesn't matter what you define it as. It's just that moment that happens. And so that, I think that's what's lovely about life. And you meet all these different people, because now you're exposed to so much more along your journey than you would have if you stayed only in one pocket of people.
True. I recently had a spiritual counseling session with someone, Carol May, who's quite extraordinary with her gifts. And she said something very interesting. I'm a yes person, sometimes to my detriment. And she was giving me some coaching about the importance of saying no. And she said, and this can apply to what you just said, sometimes saying no is saying yes to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's these are such, you know, important parts of understanding our own personal wisdom, using our intuition, paying attention to what comes to us. That, you know, it's like I always feel that the entire universe is this support system. I can be driving by and looking at a billboard, it'll have a message, or I'll be driving and there's a license plate that says something, or something written on the car. It's all there if we can pay attention.
Yeah.
That's always the challenge, you know.
Well, in our busy world, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so many ways that we can be distracted.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, I don't know, for me, it just sometimes feels so difficult for me to navigate this reality with the grace that I would prefer, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you know, and so often just being in the presence of certain people, just to be in the presence of them, brings something important into our consciousness. I know that that's, you know, that's just so true with any of us, without having it seem to be an intention to create that impact. Mm-hmm. But it happens, again, if we have an awareness, receptivity, a willingness to be worked on, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? So, because this is Wise Women Podcast, what would you consider and the most important thing that you could share with women as we move into this new year? What would you like to present to them as we come closer to the end of our show?
I think women need to be kinder to themselves. And I say that because we are nurturers, we are givers, and we've yet to understand that if we don't give to ourselves, you deplete what you have. And sometimes you don't always get that back.
Wow.
You don't always get it back, because what you push out in terms of energy to others, you have to give back to yourself. And whether that's having a massage, whether that's, you know, going out with friends, which are very, very important. And it's important that you have relationships, especially as you age, and ones that are of different age groups.
Oh, good point.
Not stay in, oh, well, I'm 70, I only hang with 70. No, you need that younger perspective still, because it gives you something. It gives you longing, it gives you moments to live with. It gives you longevity. And we as women, we give a lot, but we don't give enough to ourselves. And so I'm saying that so that all women can understand, in order for our world to be a better world, we as women must support each other. If we don't start supporting each other wholeheartedly and honestly, you wonder why the world is the way it is. We have a very important obligation as women, especially in this time. So while we're supporting others and giving to others, we must give to ourselves. And in of that giving to ourselves, we must begin to lift each other up with honesty and integrity and start supporting other women on their journeys, no matter which way that journey is going, in an honest support. So that's what I would love for women to understand moving into this new year. How important they really are to global change. And if you're not taking care of yourself and honest, you can't possibly help create change, because you're on that track of being depleted.
That's so powerful. So important to take in and consider and look at how what you've just spoken can be applied and integrated into the way that we might address and function in 2024. The scary thing is always, like what I'm kind of going through right now, is to think, gosh, what if I'm wrong about things that I I'm vehement about, and certainly the political scene is full of that, the polarization.
We all could be wrong, Kathleen. We all could be wrong. But what are you going to sit back and say, well, I could be wrong, so I'm not going to do it? Or you say, I could be wrong, but I'm going to take the chance on doing such, so that we all can uplift the consciousness of the human condition, so that all people are taken care of. We have a duty and obligation to care for everyone on this planet. And at this point in time, we're not doing a very great job of that.
So true. Now, your productions are here locally, but we do have a worldwide audience. Millions of people are audiences in our range of Progressive Radio Network. And even though it's a local production, you do have the ability for people to see it online, correct? Still, are you doing that?
For not this show, but in the future, we will have a platform so that people can actually go online and watch them.
So live stream?
We are working towards that. For this one, Almost Maine, we have the ability to do it for archival purposes. But in the future, we will work the other way on that with the publishers, so that we can share that and share the others with our global community. Because the work in which we're doing is really important work.
Obviously.
We're trying to change the human condition in the minds of people who don't see all people. And it's important that we start seeing all people. It's important that we start feeding people and housing and loving people where they are on their journey, not for what we want them to be, but where they actually are on their journey. Because
how would people be in communication with you?
Well, they can reach me. They can go to our website at EmersonTheaterCollaborative.org. They can contact me there. They can email me at cross@EmersonTheater.org, or they can even call me, because we have a local number that's 860-705-9711. We are very proud of the work that we're doing, and we're very glad to be able to do the work that we are doing, because we know that it's important work. We know that it's going to uplift the global consciousness, and we know that it's going to be healing for all people. And so that's what we try to do, is to support all people, collaborate across the artistic disciplines where art in all of its forms come to the stage and allow people to experience it.
Well, you have been an absolute delight and have contributed a great deal to the purpose of Wise Women. And
thank you.
I really appreciate your being a guest on our show. And so right after my show is another wonderful show with Kyle and Rodney, who have a different angle. That's the name of their show. I hope everybody stays tuned to listen to them as well. And I always encourage Kyle and Rodney to consider having you on their show.
Well, there's always a different angle to everything.
So very true. All right. So with that, again, Camilla, thank you so much for being on Wise Women. This is Kathleen Francis, wishing you all a wonderful week ahead, happy holidays, and a brilliant 2024 with a perspective that embraces everything that you are and all that you can be. With that said, bye-bye.